Turn to Ephesians 5. Turn to Ephesians 5. I guess I'm needing to move on now. So turn to Ephesians chapter 5. This was our scripture reading for today, and this was our scripture reading for today, and I want to refer to it. And as you're finding Ephesians 5, I just want to also point your attention to. I just also want to point your attention to your bulletin. In your bulletin, there are a number of scriptures that I want to refer to. And 1 John 1:5. This I'll read them to you while you're finding Ephesians 5. This then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Amen?
Amen.
No darkness in God. Matthew 4:16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Amen. The light of the glorious gospel of God should shine on them. My lesson today, or title that I gave it at some point in time, was Come In Out of the Darkness. Come on in out of the darkness. We don't want to stay out in the darkness, do we? Often when I greet you at the door, I say, come on in out of the cold. It's cold out there. Come on in. It's warm in here. Amen. Keep the heat on because it's warm. And we want to keep the light on and come on in out of the darkness. One of the things I was thinking about for today was talking about or answering the question, how do I know if I'm in darkness? How do I know? How does a person know that they're in darkness? How do I know that I'm not just deceiving myself and that I am in darkness? I'm going to answer that question today, okay? So that we can have clarity. One of the focuses that I'm going to use is fellowship and followership. Fellowship and followership. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. John 12, also in your bulletin, John 12, John 8 and verse 12, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Jesus made a very, very strong declaration. He made a very strong declaration about who he is. He said, I am the light of the world. That's a strong statement, isn't it? Sometimes people say they believe Jesus was a great prophet. They believe he was a great prophet, but they don't follow him. You know, they follow Islam. But they believe Jesus was a great prophet. But you can't believe Jesus was a great prophet and not pay attention to what he said. Amen. He was a great prophet. Yes, he was. But he said, I am the light of the world. Mm-hmm. And he said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness.
Amen.
You can't follow Jesus and be in darkness. You can't be a follower of Jesus Christ and be in darkness at the same time. You just can't do it. In 1 John 1:6, also on your bulletin, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. You see that?
Right.
You see that? Mm-hmm. If we say we have fellowship with him. A lot of people say they have fellowship. But if we say we have fellowship with him and at the same time we walk in darkness, we lie.
Right.
Because Jesus said that he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You see that?
Yes.
So how do you know? Okay? I want to use Ephesians 5 to help us answer this question. I believe it will. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, chapter 5 and verse 1. Before I read there, I want to point out a couple of things. And this is, I told our young people to be here today because I have special things for you here, okay? The first thing I want to do is answer another question. What and where is the fruit of the Spirit? This question came up to me because it's in the text, and I want to point you to verse 9. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5, verse 9. A lot of times when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, we go to Galatians, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we go to Galatians, but I also want to hone your senses to Ephesians 5, verse 9. Ephesians 5 verse 9 says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." That's where it is. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then to answer the other question, what is the fruit of the Spirit? If we were answering the other question, what is the fruit of the Spirit? We would go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And if you would just turn back about two pages, you will find it. Galatians 5, maybe two pages in your Bible. It would be just about two pages back, maybe one, maybe two, maybe three, depending on your Bible. But it's Galatians. This is the book that comes before Ephesians. And it's chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And that says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance." You see that? The fruit of the Spirit, that's just what it is. This is a statement that says the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, you know from your English grammar, if you can remember back that far, you know from your English grammar, I know our young people can remember, English grammar says when something is, when there says something is something, that means that's a description of what it is, right? Isn't that right? And so the fruit of the Spirit, and it gives you nine characteristics. It gives nine characteristics and says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Turn back to Ephesians 5. And in Ephesians 5 it tells us again the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Amen?
Amen?
The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Amen? And then verse 10 says what?
Proving.
Right? What is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving means examining or putting it on trial, discerning, making a proof out of it. You see? Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. So when you have the fruit of the Spirit in you, it makes a proof, doesn't it? It proves goodness and righteousness and truth. Amen? And verse 11 says, "Have no fellowship." Doesn't it say that?
Yes.
No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now remember, 1 John 1, 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. Remember that?
Yes.
If we say we have fellowship with Him, and at the same time we have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, we are a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So verse 11 says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." And that word fellowship means what you are partaker of. You know, who your companions are, what you participate with. Okay? And verse 11 further goes on to say, "But rather reprove them." It says, "Rather reprove them." What does reprove mean? We talked about that. Reproof, rebuke. It means that you have to speak. Okay? And so your fellowship with Christ, means that when you come into contact with the unfruitful works of darkness, you speak.
I know that's right.
So you see, sometimes, you know, you got family members that are not saved, right? You got a schoolmates that are not saved, right? You know? And they doing what they doing, right? And you have to say, I'm not doing that. You all go ahead. Now, I'm talking to the young people, but adults can learn a lesson here too.
Yes.
Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, not me. You understand what the scripture is saying? It says, have no fellowship. It's the fruit of spirit. It's all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship. You're not participating. These are not your companions.
Right.
You're not a partner with them.
Right.
You're not communing with them. But you open your mouth and say, I don't need you cussing around me.
Amen.
If you can't stop cussing around me, then either you leave or I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be in my house cussing.
Amen.
You have to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness.
Amen.
Pull your pants up.
Amen.
Tighten up your belt.
Amen.
You have to reprove unfruitful works of darkness.
Amen.
You have to say something.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
There is one of the 613 commandments of the Old Testament. The Israelites were commanded to speak.
Mm-hmm.
They were commanded to say something.
Mm-hmm.
God is good.
Yes, he is.
Say something.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
Jesus. Jesus is my Savior.
Yes.
Say something.
That's right.
Open up your mouth.
That's right.
Say something. And scripture here tells us reprove them. And that means you say something. You don't just hang out with your friends and they're doing this and they're doing that and you're with them and you're not saying nothing.
Right.
Number one. What? Number one, what? You probably shouldn't even be with them, right? But there are some circumstances that you have to be. Right? And when you have to be, you also have to be saying something.
That's right.
If you get in the habit of hanging around unrighteousness and not saying nothing,
that's right.
If you get in the habit of hanging around unrighteousness and nothing's coming out of you, then something's going to be getting in you.
That's
yes,
right.
Indeed.
Right.
Yes.
That's right.
Something's going to be getting in you.
That's right.
Because silence gives consent.
That's right.
Silence gives consent. You understand what I'm saying, young people?
Yeah.
On the back row? You got it?
Yeah.
On the front row, yeah. You understand what I'm saying? That you have to open your mouth and say something. It's for all of us now. Me too. Okay.
Amen.
No fellowship with the unfruitful. Now I wanna. This word fellowship means don't participate. It means don't be a partaker. Don't be a companion of it. And I want to give you two. I want to give you two Bible references on this word. One is Revelation. Both of them are in Revelation. One is Revelation 1. This is like a positive kind of example. Revelation chapter 1 verse 9. You know that Revelation was written by John, the Apostle John, right? On the Isle of Patmos, right? And John says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. They were going through a time of tribulation at that time. They were suffering and brought. And John says, I am your companion. And that word companion is the same word as fellowship. He's saying basically, we all in this together. That's what he's saying. We all in this together.
That's right.
Okay?
Amen. Amen.
He said, I am your companion. In tribulation, and in the kingdom, and in the patience of Jesus Christ. And he says, I was in the Isle of Patmos. Okay, da 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 da. Okay? So that's a positive, you know, that we want to be companions. We are in fellowship around the same principles of the Word of God. Salvation, healing, deliverance. We are companions, aren't we?
Amen.
Amen.
We're companions. We're in fellowship.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we use the word fellowship, but all the fellas ain't in the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Like we in different ships, like, you know.
Amen.
But this word means that we're participating together. We're partnership. We're in communion with each other. We're in fellowship.
Amen.
I also want to give you on the negative side. Revelations 18 and verse 4. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Profitable, isn't it?
Yeah.
For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. Revelation 18, 4. All scripture, see? That's why I can always go to the Word. I can always go to the Word to get illustrations and examples of what God is saying. I have to go to the Hollywood movies. I have to show you no Hollywood movie to show you an example of nothing. God's Word is enough. I got enough of it. I'm serious. I've been to a church where they were showing Hollywood movies to show an example of how you should be some kind of something. I got the Word.
Amen.
More sure word of prophecy.
Amen.
Than you do well that you do. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 18:4, I said.
Yeah.
What does it say? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plague. You see that, young people? God tells us to come. Can you scroll down one verse? This is where he's saying, Babylon, Babylon. No, the other way.
Oh, you mean go back?
Yeah. Good, one more. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is...
And
has become, can you read please, Wanda? And has become
the habitation of devils and the hole of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God have remembered her iniquities.
Amen. 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 And so God's telling us to come out of Babylon, right? Well, now, where's Babylon?
Right.
Babylon is the world that we live in. And God is telling us to come out, to have no fellowship. Don't participate.
Amen.
Have no fellowship.
Amen.
Because you cannot have fellowship with Jesus Christ and walk in darkness. He said that.
Amen.
Right? Isn't that what he said?
Amen.
He said, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, then we lie. But he says that he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
You got to speak. You got to say something. So Ephesians, now I want to go to the beginning of Ephesians 5. And I want to show you, the next thing I want to show you is Ephesians 5 chapter 1. And I want you to compare that to Ephesians 5 verse 1. And I want you to compare that with Ephesians 5 verse 7. Okay, Ephesians 5, verse 1. You got it, everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, Ephesians 5, verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Doesn't it say that? Be ye therefore followers. It's again the same word of following and participating and communing and partnering with God, right? Be ye followers of God as dear children. Be. First word caught my attention. Be. And be means, this word be, when you go back to it, it means begin to be. Start being it right now.
Becoming.
Yeah, becoming is a good word, you know, so that you start moving in this direction. You see? Start moving in this direction. Now let's go to verse 7. Verse 7 also starts with be. But it says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. See? Don't be in fellowship.
Right.
With them. In communion. It says, don't be. Be not partakers with them. For you sometimes, that word sometimes means you used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's interesting because it says you were sometimes darkness. It's like you were dark. You were darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then now you see my 9? For, because, in other words, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. There is no righteousness in unrighteousness. You see? There's no righteousness in unrighteousness. I know it sounds like a stupid statement, but there is no righteousness in unrighteousness. You look at how some people behave, you would think there was righteousness in unrighteousness. It's like, what you doing that for? Young people, I want you to understand that you have to open your mouth.
Amen.
And you have to say, that don't make no sense. I'm not going. No, I'm not doing that. These are simple statements that you can make.
Can't make wrong right.
That's right. Wrong is wrong and right is right. Righteousness is righteousness. And if you're doing unrighteousness, I don't have any part in it. I'm not a partner. I'm not participating. I'm not fellowshipping with unrighteousness.
Amen.
I'm not following after it. I'm not doing that. It says, be ye, 5:1 says, be ye followers of God. Follower last Friday night when we were doing our marriage and family prayer, the pastor, you know, we were doing, Pastor Lee's talking about the DVD we're doing, and Chip Ingram, you know, on parenting, and he used the same word, mimic. Were you here?
Yes.
You were here? And you remember? He used the word mimicking,
yes.
Remember?
Yes.
He said, because that's what this word follower means. It means imitate or mimic.
Yes.
That's what it means. Mimic God.
Mm-hmm.
Be followers of God means mimic. You know, look at what God's doing and let's do that.
Right.
We were talking about parenting, so we were talking about mimicking in the context of having your children, you know, mimic
right.
what you're doing.
Right.
You know, and so what you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? Because your children are going to be doing what you do.
Amen.
You understand? Your children are doing what you do. Now you look at them doing it and you don't like it. But where'd they get it from?
Mm-hmm.
I remember the time I used a word that my mother would have had forbidden in our house. And I used the word, of course, I hung out with my dad a lot and he hit his thumb on the hammer and he said the word. He said the word, and some of the children ran in their house and tell my mother. My mother was having company at the time. You know, my mother was having and the kid, and they ran and tell mother, you know, Larry said a bad word. And he said, where did you hear that? Right in front of her company. Where did you hear that? My daddy. I'm sure daddy got it. I ain't getting no licks that day. Watch your mouth. Go on outside and play. I never heard anything more about it. Yes. And so your children do mimic you.
Yeah.
They sure do. And so don't get angry with them about something you're doing.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Say that.
Be followers, therefore, of God as dear children. mimicking God. Amen?
Yes.
So I was thinking about this word fellowship a little more, being followers of God, fellowshipping with God, because we're called to follow God, we're called to fellowship with God and with one another, aren't we? Aren't we? And I was thinking about this, I was thinking about it and just, you know, kind of meditating on it, you know, what it means. And what came to me was face to face and side by side. That's what came to me as fellowship. Now, it's interesting because I remember learning one while when I was studying about women's ministry and men's ministry. I remember that the pastor or whatever I was reading, it was said that women like to more so operate face to face, you know, and they giggling and laughing. Oh, excuse me, but you know what I mean. You're like face to face. You know what I'm saying. Women like to operate face to face. Men, come here, John. Men pretty much operate side by side. You see, men walk side by side. You know, so we working on something. Here's the hammer. You hit that there, and you know he passes it to me. And I, you know, men operate side by side. Thank you, John. You did good. You know, and women, and so it came to me face to face and side by side. You know, that's what fellowship is. You know, where we face each other. You know, and we walk side by side to accomplish things in the Lord. Amen? But another thought came to me was weapons down. When I visited Southern Africa, one of the things that you'll notice is that when they go to greet you, they do this. They put their hand somewhere on their, you know, when they're shaking your hand, when they greet you. And it's basically, I don't have a weapon in my other hand. You know, go shake your hand, you know. And so when they actually show you both hands. So that there's, you know, so there's no weapon. Okay? And so another thing about fellowship is that there are no weapons. You know, you ever been in relationship with somebody and they learn things about you and they know stuff about you and it becomes a weapon?
Yes.
You know, you think you're in fellowship and it's like, woo-wee.
Oh, yes.
You know, because the closer you get to someone, you know, we're talking about fellowship and church and everything, you know more stuff. Everybody's got stuff, man.
That's
you know?
Right. Yeah. That's right.
You know, but you don't take people's stuff and use it as a weapon.
That's right.
Not in fellowship.
That's right.
You see? Amen. Fellowship is weapons down.
Amen.
You see? Fellowship is weapons down. It's honesty and integrity and compassion and love. You know, seeking to minister to help. Okay?
Amen.
All right? Face to face, side by side, weapons down. Okay? And another thing that came to me was good words. You know, it's just, you know, it's just flowing, you know. It's just flowing. Good words and good works. This is the way it came, you know, this is fellowship. This is fellowship. And by good, I mean uplifting, you know, uplifting words, you know. Good words and good works. Good words, which means that, you know, you're seeking to find something ennobling and uplifting to say to your brother or your sister. That you're looking to have, you know, upbuilding, edifying, ennobling words. And good works means... Good works means that you're seeking to have something to do. You're seeking to have something to do that will benefit. I think this is attracting attention. Okay, what did I say last?
Good works.
Good works.
Okay, did you get that? Good, you got it, good. Good works and good words. So you have face to face, side by side, right? Weapons down, right? Weapons down. Good words, you know, good meaning uplifting, ennobling, you know, good words and good works, that we're seeking to do something to bless, to benefit, you know, to uplift someone, okay? To help them, okay? That's what fellowship is, okay? It has to do with how we treat one another. Mm-hmm. Fellowship is, you know, is how we treat one another is integral to fellowship. You know, if you have fellowship where there's a clique, where there's only certain groups that can get together, you understand what I'm saying? You've been around that, right? Yeah. You know, and you ain't in the clique, you know, you just out. You know, they do stuff, don't invite you. You know, they talk about stuff, they don't let you even know what they... You understand what I'm saying? There's no good in that. Okay? And so in true fellowship, is face-to-face, side-by-side, weapons down, honesty, integrity, and love, and compassion. It's good words and good works. It's about how we treat one another. Amen? About how we treat one another is exhortation. Mm-hmm. It's exhortation. It's encouragement to, you know, provoking one another to love and good works. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Fellowship is about working together toward the same goal. You know, we have a goal, you know, we already have a goal, which is to come to know Christ in a better way. Right? Come to know Him. And to make Him known. Amen?
Amen.
Come to know Him and make Him known. That's our heart, right? Our heart and our passion is to come to know God. God has a way, and we want to know more about His way in every area and aspect of our lives. Mm-hmm. And then we want to make Him known. So we have many opportunities for that. You know, people come to God when they're in trouble, when they're in trial. When they're in transition, people's minds open up to hear the word. But you've got to know the word. You got to know the word, and you got to know the works, right? Because there are things you can say, and there are things you can do. Okay? And so this is what fellowship is, where we come to know Christ, and then we're seeking now to make Him known to those that we come into contact with. Fellowship is all, you know, another, the same word, you know, this word that's translated, one of the words translated fellowship is koinonia. Mm-hmm. You probably have heard of some churches that are called a koinonia. Yeah. You know, koinonia Methodist Church or koinonia Baptist Church or whatever. Koinonia, K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A, koinonia. And the word means fellowship. You know, you can have the name if you want. You know, you can have the name if you want, you know. But we have to have these characteristics. Mm-hmm. We have to have these characteristics. And how are we going to have them as a church if we don't have them individually?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? How are we going to have them? So we have to be people of love and grace and mercy, you know, face to face. Side by side, weapons down, good words, good works, honesty, integrity, and love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But now when we think about this, this scripture, 1 John 1:6, has more meaning. If we say we have fellowship with Him, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. But if we walk in the light, the scripture goes on in verse 7. Say, this is 1 John 1. And verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, that's the light of fellowship with God and one another. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is the fellowship He's talking about. If we walk in the light of the revelation of God, then we have fellowship with one another. You see that? And then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We're becoming more and more perfected day by day. You see, we're becoming more and more perfected day by day. Now, who is it that walks in darkness? I think I'm going to close with this time. I can't go further than this. Who walks in darkness?
Unbelievers.
I'm going to give you 6, I believe it is, biblical references to who walks in darkness, okay? You can write them down. Pastor Lisa can put them up on the board, but you can write them down, okay? Isaiah 8:20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Isaiah 8:20, there's no light in them. If there's no light in them, it means they're what? They're walking in darkness, right? Who walks in darkness? He that has no word. If you don't know the word of God, you're walking in darkness. If you don't know how to walk according to the word of God, you're walking in darkness. You might think you have light, but you're walking in darkness. How many have ever thought they were doing right and come to find out by the word they were? Now, me, my hand's up.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I thought I knew what I was doing, but my ways are so much different than God's ways, right? My ways are different than God's ways. And when I got the light, I had to make adjustments, right? Don't we all?
Adjustments.
Yeah, have to make adjustments. Repent, repent and move into righteousness. Amen? Amen? So number one, he that has no word, according to this, is walking in darkness. Number two is that he could have the word, he could have the light, but he ignores it. Okay? John 12:35, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while the light is with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you." That's what Jesus said. Walk while you got the light. Because if you don't walk while you got the light, then you might lose that light and darkness will come upon. So who's in darkness? Who's in darkness? The one that ignores the light, right? You ignore the light, you're in darkness. Now, how many of you, I'm going to put my hand up first, have had light and ignored it?
Amen.
How many of us? We had the light, we just ignored it.
Yeah.
So in that particular area, we were in the pitch black darkness, weren't we?
Yes.
You don't know that no more. No. Walk while you have the light, Jesus says. Number one, if you don't have the word. Number two, if you have the word but you ignore it, you're in darkness. Number three, John 8, verse 12. This is the same one we had before, right? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." What does that mean? That if you don't follow Jesus, right? If you don't follow him, that means doing what he says do, right? Mm-hmm. Saying what he says say. Now let me tell you what following is, because a lot of people acknowledge Jesus Christ. Let me put it this way. A lot of people acknowledge Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know my grandma told me. Yeah, I used to go to church with my grandma. Jesus, everything's good, you know. But Jesus said, follow.
That's right.
Okay. He didn't say know something about because grandma used to jump and holler and shout at their church, you know. He said, follow. Some people confess Christ as their Savior, but don't follow him.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because you come to understand about the Christian life is that there's a beginning and there's a journey.
Yeah.
And following is about moving along in the journey. Jesus said that he that cometh after me and taketh not his cross cannot be my disciple. And what he's saying is that, yes, you might come after Jesus and say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, you're the best." But then Jesus moves on. Life moves on, and Jesus moves on, and he's saying, "Oh, keep up. We're moving along, keep up." Okay? Following him. Because there's an acceptance of Christ, and some people, you know, they jacked up, they're in trouble, and they want salvation. And this is where it's so important for you to speak. It's important. You gotta speak. Because when you speak, you can tell people, no, not that, this, because they just accepted Christ as their Savior. This is why you got to be a disciple.
Yes.
And not only be a disciple, you got to be a discipler.
Yes.
Because you got to say, come on. Because they can't see Jesus yet, they see you. And you got to say, come on, next step. And you got to say, come on. Because people, they don't know what to do. All they know is sin. They accept it. You know what I'm saying? All they know is sin. You know, unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. And you got to say, come on, you got to speak. Right. And say, no, not that. We ain't going down by the bar no more.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make a, not a left to the bar, we're going to make a right to the church. You see? Because all they know is the people at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to introduce them to the people at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to protect them when some of the people at the church, there ain't nobody here, but some of the people at the church may not accept them and like them. You got to protect them.
Amen.
You see? So he that has no word, he that has the word, but he ignores it, and he that does not follow on to know the Lord, they walk in darkness, right? Right? So there's a difference between a student and a disciple. I'm just piecing this piece in. There's a difference between a student and a disciple. There's a difference. See, I can be a student, and I can just sit up here, and you could be teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I could be a student,
right.
You know. The difference between a student and a disciple is that a student can just hear, and they can write notes, and they can just, you know, just be around it. They can take it or leave it, you know. A disciple is a follower.
Mm-hmm.
And a disciple is paying attention not only to the words, but to the attitudes and behaviors of the teacher.
Right.
You see?
That's
he's paying attention
right.
to the attitudes and behaviors. And that's why when we talk about being a discipler, in order to be a discipler, you first have to be a disciple. You have to get it from God first. I mean, really get it. Otherwise, what are you teaching people? You know? If you in rebellion... God's telling you do some things, and you in rebellion. You understand what I'm saying? You in rebellion, and now you discipling somebody. What are you discipling? A rebellion. Because disciples watch and pay attention, just like we were talking about parents and children.
Right.
You can be saying whatever you're saying, but if you ain't living it and doing it,
amen.
Then the children are picking up. They're picking up what you are, more so than what you're saying. Number one was what?
Have no word.
No word. You're in darkness. Number two was what?
Know the word, but ignore the word.
Ignoring the word that you're in darkness. Number three is what?
Don't follow Jesus.
Don't follow on to know the Lord. Don't continue on learning and growing. Amen? Number four. Number four is an interesting one. Ecclesiastes 2:14. Ecclesiastes 2:14 says the wise man's eyes are in his head. And that's really, I want to go there, but I don't have time to go there. The wise man's eyes, his light seers in his head, okay? But the fool walks in darkness. So who else walks in darkness?
The fool.
The fool. The fool walks in darkness. That's right. The fool is one who does not deal with life in successful or practical ways. The fool does not have a heart or a desire to learn and know and understand the things of God. Proverbs 8:5 tells you that. Psalms 92:5 and 6 says, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. But a fool doesn't even understand. Some people are foolish. They are foolish because word, wisdom, instruction for how to live, salvation, and deliverance are available to them. But they do not avail themselves of it. They don't go to the place. They don't spend time in prayer, spend time in their word, dedicate their life to God. They don't do it. So the fool walks in darkness, the scripture says. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 14. The fool walks in darkness. That was number what?
Four.
Number five. He that hates. 1 John 2:11 says, he that hateth his brother is in darkness. You see how the scripture illuminates?
Amen.
He that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and don't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Bible tells us all, I mean, I gave you the how we should treat one another. Scriptures, right? You got that?
Yes.
You got it? How we should treat one another, scriptures. And in the how we should treat one another, scriptures, the first set of scriptures is multiple times in which in Jesus tells us and the scriptures tell us that we must love one another. We must master love.
Mm-hmm.
We must master it.
Yeah.
In fact, Jesus said that all of the commandments, everything that's expected of you, is summed up in two statements. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that tells you that love, that is something we should master. How to love, how to have compassion, how to care for, how to have mercy on other people. How to love, even when they're not lovely. You know, some people act real ugly. But there's no scripture that says we can not love the people that act ugly. The people that act ugly, they need the love. They need the love.
Yeah.
That's why they're acting ugly. Because they don't feel loved.
That's right.
And Jesus made this the most important thing. And he said, he that hates his brother is in darkness. Who's in darkness? He that don't have the word. He that has the word, but he's ignoring it. He that doesn't follow on in that word more and more. Right? The fool, the one that just despises the word, right? That's what the fool does. He just don't even want to know anymore. Don't tell me that. I don't want to know. You know, that's the fool. You know, he don't have a heart or desire after the things of God. He that hates, this is important. He that hateth his brother is in darkness. And finally, I'm making this one up. Because it's in the scripture, Romans 13 and verse 12, and I'll read it and I'll tell you how I made it up. And he that fails to cast off and put on. That's the one. He that fails to cast off and put on. Because you know, as we grow in Christ and we learn the word more, you know, there are things that we see, well, you know, I really shouldn't be doing this anymore, you know. The scriptures tell you, the Ephesian and the Colossian scriptures that are what I often call the put-offs and put-ons. You've heard me talk about that before, right? The put-offs and put-ons of Ephesians and Colossians. Well, here's one in Romans 13:12. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, let us cast off the works of darkness. So if you don't cast them off, what?
They're still
on you, right? You're in darkness, right? Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let us put on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let us put on the Lord. And so, come on in out of the darkness. Amen?
Amen.
Come on in out of the darkness. Let us come in out of the darkness. We need vision. We need vision to see. And we must come in out of the darkness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word today, Lord God. Our desire is to walk in such a way that you see the glorious light, that we see the glorious light in your presence, Lord God. We want to walk on the path with great comfort and joy, and it will bring us into the fullness of our purpose and of your purpose and of your blessings. We are children of light,
yes.
Lord God. We do no longer walk in darkness. in every evil way, we put it off. Even just right now in our hearts and in our minds, we just put off works of darkness. We put off companionshipping with darkness, Lord God. We put off keeping our mouth shut when people are doing evil in our presence, Lord God. And we open our mouth to speak, Lord God, the eternal wisdom of God in heaven. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for these words today. I pray that they do not fall on deaf ears, Lord God. They don't fall to the ground, but we take this word, Lord God, and that it's nourishing and strengthening to us, Lord God, and that we go deeper with it day by day in our walk with you. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you look in your bulletin, there's a note from the desk of the pastors. I really appreciate, LaWanda, you working this in. Because I know it's a lot of text, but I appreciate you working it in. Walk in such a way, it's from the desk of the pastors in the middle of that one there. Walk in such a way that you see the glorious light of the presence of the Lord. Then you can walk on that path with great comfort, joy it will bring, and bring you into the fullness of my purpose, meaning God's purpose, and of his blessings. We are to be children of the light. This came from the Spirit of Prophecy Bulletin from February 24th. Ebony sent this to me, and I'm glad she did, because it really solidified for me the plan and purpose of God in bringing this message. Thank you, Lord. Pray for each one as we receive this word, Lord God, that it's a help to us as we go about our daily walk in you, walking in the light as Jesus is in the light. In your glorious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.